Welcome to the Quantum Revenue Expansion Podcast. My name is Ursula Minchus, and I'm a sales expert, strategic business coach, and USA Today bestselling author. I love sharing strategies that show you exactly how to turn your annual revenue into your monthly revenue. If you're looking to take a quantum leap in your revenue or sales, your team, your productivity, your success, and your life, then you are meant to be here. My goal in every episode is to help you take your belief that it's possible to 2x or 10x your revenue while working way less to knowing that it is happening right now. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Quantum Revenue Expansion, where we talk about turning your annual income into your monthly income. And you're going to be glad you showed up today, because here's the thing. I get a lot of questions about LinkedIn from our clients, from listeners, and we have been talked a lot about it on the show. And today we're going to talk about how to turn LinkedIn into your favorite. That's a lot, Colin. Your favorite sales tool with Colin Herdman. So Colin, welcome to the show. Good to see you.
Thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited about our conversation today.
Me too. I have a million questions. I have a lot of questions. So anyone who's listened to the show, they know that I ask the questions that other people might not ask. So get ready for that. No pressure.
I love it.
So Colin Herdman, you started your first company a week after graduating from college, and you've been an entrepreneur ever since. Congratulations. That's a feat in itself.
Yeah, thanks.
And you've been building businesses through Monkey Island Ventures, a company you co-founded with your two best friends. How fun is that? And now you're focused on your newest business, Rainmaker, which we're going to hear about today as well. So let's just start. Tell us a little bit about your entrepreneurial journey and how you got here over the last 15 years.
Yeah, sounds good. I started my first company a week after I graduated from college, and I'm going to date myself, but this was actually in the mid 90s. I had that first company for about a decade. I had never taken a business accounting or marketing class in college. And just by chance, I fell into entrepreneurship and obviously never used my criminal justice degree. So I sold that first business in 2006. And then in 2007, I started Monkey Island Ventures with Josh and Zach, two buddies of mine. We grew up together, all known each other since we were about 5 years old. And Monkey Island's named after a park that we used to play at, located over in St. Paul. And so we've built probably a dozen SaaS products over the years. We have a digital marketing company and a software development company. We have about 40 employees. Our headquarters are in Northeast Minneapolis. And I'd been doing a ton of kind of growth hacking for our products and for our service-based companies using cold email and LinkedIn over the last 7 years. And at the beginning of last year, I went to my partners and said, I think I could build a real business out of the automation and process that I've done on LinkedIn. And they said, go for it. And so that's how Rainmaker is born. And so right now I'm leading that effort and having a ton of fun.
Yeah, awesome. Well, congratulations. That's a lot of business that's been done over the years. And it sounds like you had a lot of fun along the way with your friends and just that, because I think that's such an important part of it. I mean, people don't realize. Those who are listening know, because they have their own business. But outside of this entrepreneurial space, people don't realize, right, like how much work and all the things that have gone into what you've built to this point. And if you're not having fun along the way, you're not going to keep doing it. So I love that you brought, you're doing it with your friends. So speaking of that, what's it like? What's it like being in business with your two best friends from elementary school, it sounds like, or from grade school?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Josh was literally my next door neighbor when I moved into the neighborhood at 5 years old. So, it's great. It's fantastic. I mean, as you know, and you've already touched on, being an entrepreneur, being a business owner, it's not easy. It's really difficult. And it doesn't matter, who you are, you're going to have ups and downs. You're going to have more failures than you do successes. And having business partners that, I trust down to their very core, that I can talk about, anything personal and business related, has just been a true blessing. Just feel so happy to have them in my life. And, took the right approach. We use EOS in some of our companies, and core values is one of the things that you come up with. And we came up with our five F's, which is freedom, finance, family, friendship, and fun. And those five F's are really what we live by. And we've always put our friendship and relationship ahead of business decisions. As you know, very few business decisions are truly catastrophic. And I think there's always a level of risk in any decision that you make. And I think we, you know, really trust one another and know that, you know what, okay, you know, we think this is a good idea. It might not work, but we're going to give it a try. And we've kind of had that ethos really from day one. And I think it served us well.
Yeah. I'm involved in two coaching businesses. The second one is three of us, and three can be interesting, right? Three can be interesting. So how do you manage a trio?
Yeah. Well, quorum always wins.
Okay.
And if the third person doesn't like it, well, you know, suck it up and deal with it. And again, I think it goes to the personalities, you know, the three of us, you know, we have different personalities for sure. But, you know, at the heart of who we are, there's a lot of commonality there.
And, yeah.
And so, yeah, I think, you know, sharing in the day-to-day is great. We scrum every morning. We meet for an hour and a half, you know, every Monday late afternoon. And, you know, we're each kind of running different businesses under our portfolio. And so we're always checking in on that, but we're there to support one another. And there's certainly some overlap between the companies as well. So it's been great. And anyone that's aspiring entrepreneur or existing, you know, if you can bring in business partners that, you know, you can get to work and have those kinds of relationships with, I highly recommend it. You know, my first business, they weren't involved in, and, you know, I really much more appreciate the relationship I have with them now in these businesses.
Sounds like you have strong core relationships and really solid boundaries, and quorum wins. So I got it. Yeah. I got it. I agree. Yes. I have way more fun in the business where I have my business partners and just be able to, you know, just being creative and working together and all of those pieces.
Right.
So then you're in this world of LinkedIn now, like really you're specifically living in the space of LinkedIn. Sounds like you've been in there a while. We were chatting about this earlier. Like, I think most people think, okay, I have my LinkedIn account. I've got it, my profile updated. I've got some reviews on there. Those look pretty good. I'm doing my posting pretty regularly, but nothing's happening. Would that be you hear pretty often, and you're able to help people? You're able to help people shift that, right, and start to get results.
Absolutely. You know, I think what people can expect, you know, in the way that I'll address this podcast is, number one, I'm going to have some pretty strong takes on LinkedIn and how to use it. Number two, I will get into some very specifics in the process that I use that people can apply manually. So I think there'll be a ton of value there for people that, you know, want to venture into some of this themselves. I'm very much an open book in the way that I use LinkedIn for myself and for my clients. And, you know, the way that I think about LinkedIn, it's kind of broken out into three layers. One is philosophy. The second layer is around audience, and focusing in on audience building. And then the last is strategy. So actually activating that audience. So, you know, I'll tie in, you know, your first question, just kind of around where people are coming from. you know, the having, you know, the base minimum that you should have, you know, around a LinkedIn profile is being authentic and genuine with who you are, about the brands that you represent. You know, that's just table stakes. You know, making sure that your profile is built out where you have a good profile picture, that you have a good banner, like all those kinds of things. You want it to be representative of who you are at the current state of where you're at. So when people do visit your profile, that it reflects accurately. And so, you know, that kind of portion of, you know, someone's profile, it's in the way that someone sets up their, you know, the way that they're going to be represented on LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a toxic place. I think that's one of the things I really like about LinkedIn. It's really quite, quite positive. And I think that's, why one of the most ideal places for any B2B person to be, as well as LinkedIn's a monopoly, right? There's no other business social networks out there. You know, my clients range from small to big, and I can tell you across the entire spectrum, business people are trying to figure out LinkedIn.
Yes.
It's growing all the time. Two people join LinkedIn, I think, every second.
Wow.
I have not ever come across a client where we haven't been able to get them connecting with their ICPs and whatnot. So all that is to say, being authentic, genuine, having your profile updated and accurate is table stakes. And you need at least 500 connections. Make sure you have at least 500 connections on LinkedIn.
Why, Colin?
Well, because if someone goes to your profile and they see you have like 120 connections or 340 connections, that just doesn't show that you're like really invested enough on LinkedIn.
Got it. So it's more about look.
Yeah. It's perception. Yep. If you have five, they cap someone knowing how many connections you have at 500. It'll say like 500 plus.
Got it.
So that's like a minimum that you'll want to get to. So
okay.
So then the other things about how I approach LinkedIn philosophically is mindset is the second thing. So you have to have an educational mindset because nobody wants to be sold on LinkedIn. I never use in-mails. I never use sponsored posts or ads. I think a lot of people do a disservice to themselves when they, are trying to sell people right away, when they're trying to book meetings with people right away, when they have absolutely no idea if people even need or want what they're selling. And so nobody wants to be sold on LinkedIn, but I think most people are willing to be educated on LinkedIn. And then the second part of mindset is an experimentation mindset, meaning, there's different functions and features within LinkedIn. You want to test different things and see what works and stack those. The things that don't work, table those and maybe try them again at a later date. Okay, so that's kind of the mindset you need to have. And then the final thing is you have to understand the pains and barriers your prospects are trying to overcome. What is it that they want to be educated on? And most importantly, what is it that you can teach? What is it that they can learn from you? Okay, so that's really the philosophy in a nutshell, is being authentic and being genuine, having an educational and experimentation mindset, and finally figuring out what is it that your audience can learn from you, what can you teach, okay? So that's the philosophy that will work, especially for any B2B, that philosophy works incredibly well. And the next two kind of layers, as we'll touch into those, will explain why. So I'll pause there and see if you have any questions on the philosophy before I get into like audience.
No, I get it. Like, so you want to look good, have more than 500. So be set up, be professional, and recognize from a mindset perspective, this is really about educating people. People are willing to be educated. Yep. We're not going on there to fire off a bunch of emails and say, hey, we need to meet so you can buy my thing. Got it. Okay. Yep. So we're moving into I'm sure you have ways to help us grow our network. Do you have strategies that you teach to do that?
Yeah. So the network, I'm going to talk about Sales Navigator for a second, and then I have a couple of growth hacks too that could be of high value. So I build most of the audiences for myself and for my clients using LinkedIn Sales Navigator, right?
Yep.
That's the sales tool that LinkedIn has that costs around $100 a month. And it allows you to hone in on leads, build out lists and save searches, and has a bunch of filters in there to help you hone in on the kinds of people that you want to start building relationship with. I'd say about half my clients have Sales Navigator, the other half don't. If they don't have it, I'll just use mine and we'll build the audiences off of mine and I'll have their account start to activate those audiences. I do have, some clients, they'll use like external sources of data like Zoom Info or if they're going to events or conferences, they'll build out lists from those, and we'll use those as well. But Sales Navigator, I'd say, is the majority of where I build lists from. Now, there's a couple of growth hacks. As I was thinking about, how do I find audiences that would maybe have higher intent in potentially buying my services or products? If you have direct competitors that are doing LinkedIn events, or if there's an industry organization doing a LinkedIn event around a topic that your business solves for, if you go and attend that event, you can see everyone else that's also attending that event. And you can actually start building out a prospect list of people that are publicly raising their hand and saying, this is who I am, and I'm interested in learning more about this topic, right?
Yeah.
So that's one great growth hack, is using other events on LinkedIn and building out prospect audiences.
That's great. Yeah.
And then another is using a person as a proxy. So there's a woman named Brenda on LinkedIn. She has about 70,000 followers, and she talks a lot about LinkedIn profiles and organic posts and when you should post and all these kinds of things. Well, I connected with her, and because her connections are open, I can see everybody that she has as connections. And so what I can do is I can say, okay, I want to connect with everybody that's a founder or a sales executive that's connected to her, but is a second connection to me, and start connecting with them, because they're most likely connected to her because they want to learn how to grow on LinkedIn. Therefore, they'd be a good candidate for Rainmaker, right? So I'm using her as a proxy. So those are the main ways that we're building out audiences: Sales Navigator, using LinkedIn events, using people as a proxy, and sometimes external lists. So that's those are the main ways that we're building out audiences, okay? So then the bottom layer is actually starting to activate those audiences. Okay. The foundation of what you need to do is continue to build out your first degree network. Okay. So now that you have, let's say I've identified, I'll use an example. So there's an audience that I built of around 300 sales executives here in the Minneapolis, St. Paul area. And, I started to reach out to connect with them.
Yep.
The process that I use for myself and all my clients is reaching out to 25 people a day, Monday through Friday during normal working hours. So 125 people a week, 500 people a month. You're typically going to get around a 20 to 25% connection rate back. We're almost never using a connection message. So we're just connecting. Mm-hmm. And then if someone doesn't connect back within 30 days, we'll withdraw the invite. And there's a 3-week period of time where you can't reinvite that person. But then after that 3 weeks is up, you could reinvite them to connect. So what we do is kind of create these pools of people that didn't connect the first time around, and we'll try and connect with them at a later date. And so a lot of people, they're not connecting with you. It's not that they don't want to connect. It's just that they get all these alerts and yours gets pushed down. They don't see it. So again, everything I'm talking about to you and your listeners today, you can go do all this manually if you want. You can literally take my process and do it manually if you want to do that. So 25 people a day. I think people, and again, during normal working hours, Monday through Friday, you don't need to do it on the weekends. That gets you in front of 500 ICPs a month if you built out your audience correctly. If you're connecting with 20-25%, you know, you're going to build up a nice following of ICPs in a fairly short period of time. And I think people underestimate the value of a first connection. I would much rather have a LinkedIn first connection to one of my ICPs than their email address. Because number one, you can probably get their email address once they become a first connection. But number two, you have all these different ways that you can start to build relationship with these people because of the functions and features in LinkedIn. And we'll get into a couple of those now. So now that your audience is growing, you know, week in and week out, you want to start activating those first connections that you're getting. Very typical is a messaging campaign. And the messaging campaign is kind of as follows. We will send out a thanks for connecting message 1 to 3 days after the connection is made. Absolutely not trying to sell anything. We're not even trying to help. We're just thanking them for the connection. Right. So again, using those sales executives, my message was like, you know, hey, Colin, thanks so much for connecting. Really enjoy connecting with fellow salespeople here in the Twin Cities. Right. Something like that. They all got that same message, but it's specific. And, you know, I got, you know, some people replying, hey, Colin, great to connect with you, too. Right. So so if someone does reply, it goes into your LinkedIn inbox and you can carry that conversation on wherever you want. If they don't reply, then a week or two later, you'll have a second message go out. And that's where you really want to start providing value. And by providing value, that could be, you know, asking a really salient question. That could be sharing an asset that your company built out. Or maybe you want to share an asset of a third party that you think this audience would find of high value. Maybe you want to invite them to participate in a LinkedIn poll, right? There's all these different things that you can do. So again, using these sales executives, my second message was saying, hey, Colin, wondering if there's any good local networking events that you'd recommend And, you know, I got some response from some of them and recommending, you know, some good networking events, and it's starting to build relationship with these people. Then about a month ago, I invited the connections. I think there's around 170 of the 300 that connected back with me. And I invited them to participate in a LinkedIn poll. And I got about 40 of them to participate in a LinkedIn poll that I had created, right? And then I messaged back after the poll completed, you know, my thoughts on the results and all that, and building out relationship with them. And then, so that kind of gives you an idea of like how I'm using messaging, and I'm using it kind of as a drip campaign with new connections. But there are times where, you know, I'll grab like, okay, I've been connecting with like fractionals, right? People that are fractionals, and I will send a message out to all the fractionals with maybe some type of an asset that I built out, right? So again, messaging is great because it comes in as a direct message. It goes right to the person. They're typically going to get notified. What you don't want to do is be salesy, and you don't want to burn people out. So you don't want to message them like every week or anything like that. You want to be smart about the way you message. And the last strategy I'll just kind of touch on here is LinkedIn live streams. And I think that's one of the best B2B strategies that I've ever come across. And I did a LinkedIn live stream to the same group of sales executives on Tuesday of this week. And I had 45 of them register for the live stream. And the live stream was teaching them how to grow their network leads and sales on LinkedIn. And the beautiful thing about LinkedIn live streams is, number one, LinkedIn wants more people doing live streams. So they're going to help spread the word, and they're going to let your followers, your connections, attendees know that you're doing a live stream. And then live streams are also fantastic because of these reasons. One, the content that I am using is repeatable. Right. So this content, this deck that I have, I've changed it slightly month in, month out, but I'm doing this live stream almost every single week. And I have broken it up to the different verticals that I've been building first connections with. Right. So I'm building connections with sales executives, with founders, with EOS implementers, with fractionals. Right. Those are different discrete groups where over the last year, I've been building out first connections. Then what I'll do is I already know my topic, right? My topic is learn how to grow your network leads and sales on LinkedIn. And what I will do then is I will invite one of those discrete groups to my live stream event. And then I customize that LinkedIn live stream event. So when they land on the event page in LinkedIn after they see my invite, they will see like, oh, that's cool. It's a live stream on this topic. But what I put in the middle is like a call out. It'll say like for sales executives or for founders or for EOS implementers. So not only is the topic interesting, but they feel like it was built out just for their title or for their industry. Right.
Yeah.
And so that's a nice little tweak that people can do on repeatable content. The other thing about LinkedIn live streams or events, just LinkedIn events, you can have an in-person event or you can have an event off of LinkedIn, you know, through Zoom or something, but you can also do a LinkedIn live stream. Those are different types of events.
Right.
There's an event invite function within LinkedIn. And so I will actually, for myself and my clients, I automate that out, but you can do it manually if you want, where you're inviting people to the event and people will get an invite in their alerts, not through a direct message. It's in their alerts. So it's a nice soft touch. It's really hard to burn people out with this tactic. And then they'll see the invite to the event. They'll click into it and then they'll make a split decision on, okay, this looks interesting or not. And I'll either click attend or not.
Yeah.
Once they click attend, they're now opting into you, right? They're essentially telling you, I trust you enough that I'm going to click attend. I see this topic as being interesting enough that I also want to click attend. And what I think makes it really, really powerful is that when the live stream is done, I will go after I'll message all of the attendees after the event is over, and I'll say like, "Hey, Colin, thanks so much for registering for the LinkedIn live stream I hosted. Here's a link to the recording," and the live stream gets saved as a recording on the event page forever. And then underneath that, I'll say, you can have different calls to action, but one of my favorite calls to action is, if you ever want to chat LinkedIn strategy, feel free to grab some time convenient for you here. And I'll give him my Calendly, right? And yep. So now that's opening up the opportunities to start booking meetings. And for any B2B, meetings are the lifeblood of our business. Nobody's going to just buy from us without talking to us first. We have to talk to them first. And so that whole process that I laid out gets you to the point where you can give people a Calendly, and it doesn't feel salesy, it doesn't feel spammy, it doesn't feel icky in any way. It's just a natural next step if they want to converse and continue to learn from you and potentially do business with you. I find it to be great. And so all of these things that I've talked about, doing these things over a period of time to these audiences that you're growing, allows you to get those, 7 to 10 marketing touches that you need before people feel comfortable with you and are willing to do business with you. And so I think that's why LinkedIn, when you use it in the ways that I'm describing, can really set yourself up for success, because you're leveraging the features and functions within LinkedIn in a way that isn't salesy, that's building relationship, and then is getting people to trust you, which leads to them wanting to do business.
Love it. Love it. So tell me a little bit about like some success stories or client stories, because I'm guessing, as you're sharing this, I have a sense that some clients, maybe probably like you, are just doing this LinkedIn strategy, are getting enough. I mean, do you have that where that's the case, where this is the only thing that they're doing, and or any case studies or any success stories you want to share with us?
Yeah, I could share a couple. So one of mine is it's a SaaS company. They sell software to help like manufacturing employees feel more rewarded and also feel like part of like they create these feedback systems that like integrate into the manufacturing software and whatnot. And so we've started building out like their connections. They've been a client of mine for probably 6 months, 7 months now. And, the kinds of people that they want to connect with, there's three of them that are on the platform, and their connection rates are hovering around between like 25 and 35% and have been for the last 6 months, which has really just been outstanding. So they built out a lot of connections with kinds of people they want to be connected with. And they just started doing live streams over the last probably 3 or 4 months. And their very first one, they had, I think, 89 people register for a live stream. And the last one that they did, that they did 2 weeks ago, had 135 people register for the live stream. So I can tell you and your audience, like, if you just go and do what I'm saying, I promise it will work. I can't promise exactly how many meetings you're going to book or how many sales you'll close, but I can promise that you will get leads. If your pricing is right and you're in front of the right audience, you will close deals as well. And then one of my clients is more, it doesn't have so much of a like a learning curve. There's not complexity to his business. His business like washes like external buildings, like commercial buildings, right? Like, and so we just set up a campaign where he's connecting with property managers, and as he's been connecting with them, we just had a thanks for connecting message number one, and message number two was more just around like kind of a lighthearted short message, like something to the effect of, springtime's coming around the corner. If you ever are thinking about
clean windows or
any quotes for your building cleaning, I'd be happy to help. And we put a little bit of humor in there, but not in a way that was overly,
just kind of like short, sweet, a little funny.
I asked him, I'd seen that he'd been getting some replies from that, and one of the proposals was like a $30,000 proposal that he'd be doing twice a year. So again, that's leaning a little bit more into the sales side, but for his business, there's not much of a learning curve there. Like he's not, you know, people don't really
need it or they don't need it. Right.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. They don't need to be educated on it. So he's a little bit of an outlier, but that is all to say, I think it's okay for people to lean a little bit into, activating the audience around some sales asks, when the timing is right and, but you definitely want to be educational most of the time.
Yeah. I mean, you are on the Quantum Revenue Expansion Show. So we like to hear about the success stories and the, like, and all the hacks that are out there and all the ways that, you know, that we could be marketing on, you know, with our clients, we always want them marketing three ways. And again, I was just having a conversation with a client a week ago about LinkedIn, some of the things he's doing. And I said, hey, I'm going to have Colin on the show. So he'll have to listen to the show and learn more about what we do. So let's talk about that. I know we're almost out of time, Colin, but so there's the, like you give us, so for our listeners, right? If you took a lot of notes, you might want to listen to this again. Colin told you exactly what to do. So you told us, you gave us the juicy stuff. Yep. And then there's some of us who are either too busy or too lazy to figure that out or to do it on our own, right? Like it's too much. Like what? So if we want help with that, your company helps with those, some of those pieces, right? Not so much the setup, like we got to set our own stuff up, but like you, how do you help? And then tell us about Rainmaker. What does that do?
Yeah. So, you know, everything that I'm doing with Rainmaker happens within my client's LinkedIn account. So nothing happens outside of LinkedIn. So
when
they log into their LinkedIn account, they'll see the messages being sent, the invites being sent, the, you know, event invites being sent.
But wait, does Rainmaker do that?
Yeah. Rainmaker is doing all those automations.
That Rainmaker automates all of that.
Yep. Right. That's exactly what Rainmaker, the whole purpose of Rainmaker is to take away the kind of the monotonous actions that you have to take, automate that. But then my clients, I don't work with any clients that are like salesy. I really haven't had that much problem with that because I've been able to ensure that they adopt my ethos.
Yeah, right. But with the messaging, you're talking about how you guide them and like what to put in the messaging so it doesn't, exactly. So we don't sound salesy. Got it.
Right. Yep. I even created a Rainmaker Messenger GPT that I have my clients.
I was going to ask how you're incorporating AI right now because that's the next. Yeah.
Yep. But Rainmaker really is a software process that's kind of in the back end. So it's, I almost call it like a white glove SaaS. My clients work directly with me. I'm the only person in the company right now. So they would literally be working with me. And then the software and the process, those things just happen in the back end. And so, yeah, we would build, you know, lists together in their sales navigator or mine. We would start activating those, you know, at the 25 a day. And then we'd start implementing, you know, message campaigns.
Yeah. Or,
I've done trainings for free with my clients where I help them get their live streams set up and things like that. So, but that's really what it is. You know, clients that want to activate LinkedIn in a scalable way, that's really what Rainmaker does, is kind of takes the time component away from them, where really all they need to focus on is responding to what happens on LinkedIn from who we're reaching out to, and then building out, you know, different types of content, whether it's a live stream or if there's an asset they want to share or like the messages that they want to put in, like that's all I need from them. So
but you advise on all of that too, or you give input on that, or you probably have great examples too.
Yeah.
Okay. And so if they want to learn about it, that your website is rainmakergrows.com.
Yep. Rainmakergrows.com. Yep.
We'll have that in the show notes. And for someone who's like, oh my gosh, I need to talk to Colin yesterday, how can they do that?
Yeah. So I'm the only Colin Herdman on the internet. So you can connect with me on LinkedIn. Also at rainmakergrows.com, there's a free consultation button that puts time on my Calendly. And I'm happy to talk to anybody. I don't have any expectations that you'll sign up for Rainmaker. Yeah. If you just want to chat with me and discuss, you know, some strategies, or if you have some questions, I'm always happy to do that.
Awesome. Final word, Colin, anything we didn't talk about or I didn't ask you, or anything else you want to share with our audience?
You know, I don't think so. I think, you know, I'm not a huge social media person. I don't love posting organic content.
Oh, I like this. Say more about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. And so I think a lot of people are like that, right?
Yes. But
I think when, as an entrepreneur, if you sit in the sales seat, you know you need to use LinkedIn, and the ways I've described, I think, are a great way to do it. And then the other thing that's really nice when you approach it from like that educational perspective is you don't feel like you're hardcore selling. You don't feel desperate. What you do, it kind of empowers you to share your expertise. And so, whether people use Rainmaker or not, like use LinkedIn in the ways that I said. Use it from a from an educational perspective, and I guarantee that you will get interactions. You will generate leads and sales, and I think you'll do it in a way that's a lot more kind of empowering and enjoyable.
Yeah, awesome. Colin Herdman, thank you for being here on Quantum Revenue Expansion and for sharing all your wisdom about how to work with LinkedIn. And for those of you who want to get off social media or like just are tired of just like doing all that, maybe don't get, you're still going to be doing it, but maybe you want to do it in a different way and maybe you want to play more on LinkedIn. Definitely go to rainmakergrows.com, learn more about Colin. If you peel the poll, schedule a call with him. So, all right. Love all right, everybody. Thank you so much for being here. Colin, thank you. And we wish you and your best friends all the best.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me. Had a lot of fun.
Yeah. Here we are in Minneapolis in a blizzard. Right. And to our listeners all over the world, we love hearing from you. If there's anything we can do for you, you can email us at ursula@ursulainc.co. That's it for this week. See you next week, everybody.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode. If you loved what you heard, be sure to leave a review on iTunes so I know what you like and can create content that guides you to uplevel your business even more. If you want more strategic business tips, follow me on social media. You'll find me on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And you can visit my website at www.ursulainc.co. I love being on this journey with you and can't wait to connect with you on the next episode. In the meantime, make this your most epic month yet.